Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center. Let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the privilege and the honor and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts open to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we will read our foundational scripture we are using for our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. The meaning and the importance of faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Our foundational scripture informs us that without faith, we cannot please God. That means that our God is one who only responds to faith. He is a faith-driven spirit being. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Again, that's Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. If we live by faith, then we should walk by faith. Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Again, that's Romans chapter 4, verse 12. We are to live by faith. Then we should walk by faith. Romans 4:12. And it says, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So we are to walk by faith. We should pray by faith. Please go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. And we're going to read verse number 22. And it says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive them." Amen. Then we should also resist evil by faith. Please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 6. And we will read verse number 16. And it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." So we can, by faith, overcome and resist evil by faith. Then we are to overcome the world by faith. We can overcome the world by faith. Please turn to 1 John chapter 2. That's 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 13 to 17. Well, let's begin with verse number 12. It says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. I have overcome, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world, for anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever." Amen. So then, we are to live by faith, walk by faith, pray by faith, resist the devil by faith. We overcome the world by faith. And finally, we can die in faith. Please turn to Hebrews 11. That's Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And we will read, let's see, verse number 13. Hebrews 11, 13. And we will read just one verse, and that's 13. And it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So we can die in faith. Amen. So our whole lifestyle should be a lifestyle of faith. Amen. Now, our last time together, we were addressing the fact that heaven is not our goal. Heaven is not our goal. All of us probably have heard someone say one time or the other, "So-and-so died, and they went on home to be with the Lord." Well, they did not go home. They were already at home. This is home. Amen. Heaven is not our home. Heaven is a staging area. It is a temporary place. You were not created for heaven. You are created for this earth. That is why you have an earth suit called a body. You do not need a physical body in heaven because that is in the spirit world. All you would need is your pure spirit body. But in this three-dimensional world, you need an earth suit called a body. You were created for this earth, and the earth was created for you, not for God, but for you. You will eventually be here forever. And if you are a child of God, and if is the qualifier, then you will reign with Christ. If you're not a child of God, you will be in the lake, the one with fire and brimstones in it. Now, you might not say, or you might say that you don't believe in that. Well, that's fine. When you get there, send me a postcard because you are going to go there if you do not believe in Jesus the Christ. Please go with me to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. And we're going to read 10b. And this is Jesus speaking, and it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. God wants you and I to have this life and have it in style. Consider this. How do you think God lives? Do you think God is getting a welfare check every week? Do you think God lives on Skid Row? He could not want any less for his children than he wants for himself. Amen. Dr. Michelle and I don't have any children of our own, but we want the best for all our nieces and nephews. We want them all to succeed, and we are working on it with all we can to impact their lives so that their lives will exceed ours. We want them to go way beyond what we have done. Where do you think that idea came from? Well, it came from the original Father, Father God. You cannot love your children any more than God loves his children. Please turn to the book of Proverbs 13. That's Proverbs 13. And please go to verse 22. Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, a good man knows this and trusts in God to meet his needs. A good man. The question is, are you a good man? The sinner tries to acquire and keep wealth, and in the end, he fails. Everything is activated by faith. Because of the manner in which God has designed the system to work, everything is activated by faith. He is a faith-driven God. It is a simple principle to understand, comparatively speaking. Everything in this physical, three-dimensional world is activated by dollars. Now, let me repeat that. Everything in this physical, three-dimensional world is activated by dollars. Dollars and cents of this realm, or this three-dimensional world we live in, is money. That is all. You can have anything that is manufactured, made, or you can commission it to be manufactured. All you need is money. They will make robots for you. They have the technology to do it. Whatever you can think of, man can make. All you have to do is have the money. That is all that stands between you and it is money. In this economic world that we live in, all that it takes to make your dreams come true and to have all your desires met, now I am talking about the natural realm now, is enough money. Money will even get you to the highest office of our land, the presidency. Amen. Any place in this world or on this planet that you have ever thought you might want to see, there is someone who will take you there. They will fly you there on the world's fastest jetliner, the Concorde, if you want them to. They will take you in a boat. They will fly you in a helicopter. Have you ever been to the continent of Africa? Would you like to go? If you would like to go to Africa and you have never been there because you could not afford to go to Africa, all that stood between you and of you going to some places is Africa. Am I right or not? I am not trying to be funny or absurd. I am simply using that as an analogy. Can you understand that? Now flip that to the spirit realm. And the thing that works in the spirit realm instead of money is faith. Amen. If you have enough faith, or if you have enough dollars in this life, you can have anything your heart desires. Anything they make, and whatever they have not yet made, they will manufacture it for you. You can commission it to be made. In the kingdom of God, faith is like dollars in this economic or three-dimensional world. Faith makes everything work. The more faith you have going in the spirit world, the more dollars you have going in the physical world. Can you understand that? Let me show you vividly that there are things existing in the spirit world, even though we cannot see them physically. I would like to give you a biblical illustration of it. Now, I'm going to discuss a certain passage in the Bible that I am going to paraphrase this event, taken from 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 8 through 17. Now, I'm going to paraphrase the event and use scripture to show you what I'm talking about. Here we go. At this particular time in the history of the nation of Israel, Israel was at war with Syria. The Syrian troops would go out to battle or engage the armies of Israel in battle. Now, there was a prophet in the land at the time, and God would speak to that prophet and give him revelation of the battle plans of the Syrian army. The armies of Israel would go out and set up ambushes against the armies of Syria. And every time the armies of Syria would attempt to engage the armies of Israel in battle, their plans would be known ahead of time, and they would be beaten in their attempts to overtake Israel. Now let's read verse number 9. And it says, "And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down here.'" So God was warning the prophet, the man of God, of the plans of the Syrian army. Now let's continue. "The king of Syria thought there was a spy in their midst, and someone is giving away their military secrets." So the king of Syria said, "Wait a minute. We got somebody who's a spy in our midst," because he was wondering, how can Israel already know their military plans? Okay, verse number 11. It says, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, let you not show me which of us, or will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So he was asking the people, show me who in our midst is for the king of Israel. So one of the king's officers told the king, no, that was not the problem, but there was a prophet in Israel and he knows everything, even what's going on in your bedchamber. Now, the prophet really didn't know what was going on in the king's bedchamber. He only knew what God revealed to him. The king asked, where is this prophet? And the officer said, he is in the city of Dothan in Samaria. So the king told the officers to get the troops together and to surround the city and lay siege against Dothan while it was still dark. And in the morning, they would attack it and stop their military break in their military communications. Now, verse number 14, it says, therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. So the king sent his troops and he surrounded the city, hoping to seize the city in the morning to stop the break in their military plans. But the prophet Elijah had a servant named Gehazi who arose early that morning to do his daily duties. And there he seen the city surrounded by the army. Now let's go to verse number 15. And it says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Because the servant Gehazi had went out and he seen all these troops of the Syrians surrounding the city. And he thought they were going to be captured. The prophet went out. The prophet Elijah went out to see the commotion his servant was so disturbed about. And when he saw the army of the Syrians, he told his servant. Now go to verse 16. He said, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now the servant thought his master has lost his mind, because there were only two of them, his master and himself. And there, surrounding the whole city, was the mighty army of the Syrians, ready to seize the city. Now keep in mind, while we look at the things which are not perceived by the senses, for the things which are perceived by the senses, for we walk by the word and not by the sense. Now, let's repeat that again. It says, now we do not look at the things which are perceived by the senses, but at the things which are not perceived by the senses. For we walk by the word and not by our senses. The eyes of the spirit must be opened. Now go to verse number 17. It says, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes or his servant's eyes, Gehazi, that he may see. Now stop with me for a moment. What did the prophet mean by this prayer to open his servant's eyes? Were his eyes not already open? What scared Gehazi was that what he saw with his eyes open. And now the prophet is praying for the Lord to open his eyes that he might see. I told you that man is a spirit. The real you lives on the inside of this physical three-dimensional body. He is in here on the inside of this physical body, looking out through the windows of his eyes. When the prophet prayed and said, open his eyes, he was not talking about the eyes of the cranial captivity. He was talking about the eyes of the spirit. He was talking about the eyes of the man on the inside. Look at verse 17 again. It says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Amen. Glory to God. That is why he told him, there are more of us than there are with them. Well, we're just about out of time for this session, but please take the opportunity to join us every Sunday at our church services. You may simply join us by calling our teleconferencing services by dialing 605-303-4834, access code 997-020#. Our services start at 2 p.m. sharp. And please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.